You're listening to 89.3 Free Radio Santa Cruz. Coming up next, Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. That was that. And now you're listening to Bathrobe Spear Roberts Broadsides on Friday morning here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 89.3 FM, the only truly free radio station that you can probably get on your radio dial. We broadcast throughout Santa Cruz and will continue to broadcast as long as we can. Well, I'm Bathrobe Spear Robert, also known as Robert Norse, also known as Robert Kahn, and I'm particularly interested in civil rights issues here in Santa Cruz, and will attempt to interest you in civil rights issues and give you an update on what's happening around civil rights issues. And that might take some time, but we're going to do this little by little until everybody becomes extremely educated on issues that I think are mucho importante. Last week we had a guest, actually it was earlier this week, in the last show, Ed Fry. Ed is an attorney who is concerned with abuses in the district attorney's office. That's the DA's office, DA Art Danner. And Art Danner, as you may know, is the subject of a recall effort by numerous citizens. Both Ed Fry and I signed the recall petition. And there is a kickoff rally to kick out Art Danner, starting at noon today at the county building, which is at Ocean and Water Streets. That's where the courts hold court. That's where DA Art Danner has been reigning for the last 16 or so years. And that's where you can go to get more information about the Recall Danner movement at noon today, if you're interested. So that's something that may interest you. I also want to remember now an older friend. Actually, she's not much older than I, but she's been working hard, and she's ill. And we're talking about Linda the Lark Edwards. Linda the Lark Edwards. Linda Edwards. And Linda has been fighting the good fight here in Santa Cruz for the rights of poor people, houseless people, homeless people, folks on the streets, folks who live in their vehicles, for at least a decade. And she is now in the hospital. She has liver cancer, and frankly the prognosis is poor. But her work has been good. She's still with us, and I want to remember her on the air today, and I'm hoping in the future I can bring to you, the audience, some highlights of her past work. Linda is one of the people responsible for the opening of the Back 40, or so-called open-air shelter, the campground, which is the only legal place for people to sleep outside in Santa Cruz at the present time. That's at the Highway 1 and River Street. She, through camping out there illegally with the groups of people in protest campouts, through petitioning, through speaking at city council, through ceaseless and unending writing and speaking on the subject, has been one of the activists responsible for finally getting the bureaucrats, city council members, and the poverty pimps to allow that property to be opened for people who need it. It actually was purchased with homeless monies back in 1987, possibly even 1986, about a year or so after Jane Immler's hunger fast. Jane Immler, or Calamity Jane as we called her, went on a hunger fast at the town clock in 1985 and again in 1986 to secure certain basic rights for homeless people. She was able to, in 1985, have the first cold and rainy night shelter open, which was called the Cedar Street Shelter. It's where the Kumbwa Jazz Center is now. That was opened up in spite of the groans and moans of the town and the backpedalings and babblings of various progressive, so-called progressive city council members, who even then had a majority, but apparently were not interested in doing that until one woman risked her life to open that shelter. A year later, she was able to make sure that the community secured the River Street Shelter property, on which the current River Street Shelter, River Street Day Center, and the Free Meal sit. Actually, the Day Center is on the property next to it, but it was from that radius, from that small beginning, that the current homeless services out there dates. Anyway, Linda Edwards was in on this almost from the beginning. She has spoken to power when Carol Buesenhardt's Red Shirts, who were the people who supported more and oppressive laws against the homeless in 1990, came in the hundreds to City Hall. She walked across the street directly to talk to them, almost by herself alone. And she's able to garner so much respect by her straightforward, candid, simple message that people should be treated like human beings, even if they're poor, that she is not looking for a handout, does not want a handout, but just wants the opportunity to be a human being with some basic dignity in this city and county. Even that got through to the hardcore sort of homeless-hating element there. Anyway, we're going to hear more about Linda Edwards. We're going to hear some of her highlights in the programs ahead. And I'm going to go on to some other things which were kind of moved off the air last time because we had a guest, Ed Fry, on, talking about Art Danner's misdeeds. So what can we go to? Well, I may have already given you an update, but and there's not much more to be said, but there is my court case in San Francisco. Food Not Bombs is still under attack up there. That's a group that feeds people every day, twice a day in San Francisco, and about four or five times a week here in Santa Cruz. Doesn't ask for any means test, doesn't ask you to sign any forms. It asks that you not arrest them. And of course in San Francisco they continue to be arrested. But they are going to be applying, actually they have applied for a permit literally over 115 or 20 times now. Food Not Bombs in San Francisco was denied a permit back in the summer of 1990 after they had successfully secured health and park permits, but then Mayor Agnos and then later Mayor Jordan moved to completely remove the process for having free food in a park, and there is at the current time no legal way to serve free food in a public park if a Parks and Rec Commission doesn't want you to. They have not ever granted a permit for serving free food in a park since that date, and not the Food Not Bombs that has applied regularly. I think they made their 100th application about 6 months ago. Now they've turned their guns on the the Board of Supervisors. I should say they've turned their bagels on the Board of Supervisors, because the Board of Supervisors, in a rare situation, is actually more liberal than the mayor and more liberal than most of the state. While everybody else was running to the right with Newt Gingrich, the city of San Francisco and the county of San Francisco, and they are one up there, became more liberal. And so there will be hearings opening, sponsored by Supervisor Hallinan, to give Food Not Bombs a permit to serve food at UN Plaza, where they serve food twice a day, 12 noon and 6 o'clock at night. And they usually get arrested at least once a day, or they actually got arrested on, I believe it was Tuesday and Wednesday, and possibly yesterday, we're not sure. But they're going to be there's going to be a public hearing on their permit application for all you activists who have got nothing to do on Tuesday, May 9th. At Tuesday, May 9th at 2:30 at the supervisor's chambers, you can show up and you can speak in favor of Food Not Bombs. That's Tuesday, May 9th, 2:30 at 401 Van Ness in San Francisco. That's the War Memorial Building. And Keith McHenry told me this morning he wants as many people as possible. Keith is one of the Food Not Bombs activists up there, to speak in favor of Food Not Bombs' right to share free food. There's also going to be Food Not Bombs support for the planned demonstrations against the Contract on America, which, as you know, is May 6th. That will happen in San Francisco, 11 a.m. at Dolores Park, with a march from Dolores Park down to the Civic Center Plaza. And for all you people interested, May 6th is also Keith McHenry's birthday, so happy birthday, Keith. Also happening in San Francisco is a trial for Food Not Bombs member Dominique, who has already been sentenced for felony soup spilling that he actually was not involved in, but that he was nonetheless, actually he was found innocent of the soup spilling, but then he was found guilty, I believe, of resisting arrest and obstructing an officer in the drive of many, many police to confiscate bagels, rice, and bread from Food Not Bombs last summer, which they did successfully. They confiscated the food all right, arrested a lot of people, and spent hundreds of thousands of taxpayer dollars. Dominic is going to a second trial. He got 3 years probation and 500 hours of community service for the first. He's going to the second trial Monday and Tuesday, we believe. His trial will be assigned this morning. So anyone going up to San Francisco who's interested in the Tuesday Parks and, actually not Parks and Rec, but Board of Supervisors hearing on the Food Not Bombs feeding permits, which will be happening at 2:30 on Tuesday at the 401 Van Ness, the War Memorial Building, can also look in on Dominique's trial. And if you want to make contact with folks up there, just go to the noon meal. And that is at UN Plaza, which is about a block or two from Civic Center Plaza, where Food Not Bombs used to serve in front of City Hall before City Hall closed down for earthquake renovation. So that's kind of specialized news. I know a lot of you folks out there who are tuning in aren't going to know quite what I'm talking about, but if you hang in there, you will. Hopefully, that's what this is all about, educating you as to what's happening and part of the counter scene here, the free Santa Cruz scene. This is free radio, after all, Santa Cruz, 89.3 FM, broadcasting to you 24 hours a day when we can. If you're interested, by the way, in getting on free radio yourself, I'm not an official representative, but I can put you in touch with those people. Give me a call at 423-HUFF. That's 423-4833. I'm Robert, and if you're interested in your own radio show, if you have a point of view that has been denied access to the air, free radio may be the place for you to come. It's easy to learn how to do it. You won't be arrested for doing it. We don't know how much longer we can continue doing it, but at the current time, we are legal, and we are active, and we are on the air. So give a call to 423-4833 if you want to have your own show on. And if you have things you want to say that you think other people should hear but are not hearing, because on the one side you have the Sentinel, on the other side you have KSCO, and then on the third side you have pseudo-progressive folks who are not terribly interested in real radical alternative opinion. So I've got my notes here. I'm kind of spiraling through to try to get some action here before my computer dies. We have a tiny little station here which has virtually nothing in the way of electrical outlets, so we kind of wing it completely. But we're doing okay. If you're interested in the Danner recall campaign, and perhaps last was it Monday, I believe, I was on talking about that with Attorney Ed Fry. Give a call to 457-2670. That's a Danner recall campaign. Or show up today at noon at the county building. That's where the courts are, at Water and Ocean Streets. And there's going to be a big rally to begin the recall campaign, gathering the signatures that will put Art Danner, hopefully, back in civilian life where he belongs, and put some new district attorney in power so we can stop prosecuting people for victimless crimes like smoking marijuana, growing medicinal marijuana, or peaceful protest in order to assure that homeless services are opened and that homeless civil liberties are guaranteed. and get back to the real business of dealing with crimes of violence and things of that sort. So what else do I want to tell you? Bob Sparks. Now, Bob Sparks is a name that's well known around Berkeley, California. Bob has been an activist for decades. Largely single-handedly, he and others carried on the fight to maintain open space for the community and for poor people at People's Park in Berkeley. You may remember People's Park. This was the scene of a National Guard confrontation when then-Governor Reagan decided that it was time to bring out the bayonets to tear up the flowers, put up the fences, and stop what the community had spontaneously started, because the University of California, which had previously torn down housing there, student housing, in order to eliminate the hippies and the bohemians, had left a soggy, muggy, boggy hole in the ground filled with water, and people moved in to turn it into a park. Governor Reagan sent in the troops. One man was killed, one man was blinded, many were hurt. The city was tear gassed and put under essentially military occupation for a month. And yet this park has endured for 26 years, and recently, last Sunday, had its 26th memorial celebration. Well, Bob Sparks was a big part of that, and Bob died on that same day of a heart attack. It was Bob's work in successfully organizing people around rent control and successfully organizing people to resist the destruction of the free box at People's Park, where people can, who don't have it, can get clothes, or other people can go and give them clothes, that was torn out many times by the University of California with the connivance of the city of Berkeley. Bob worked on that. Bob stood with that. Bob fought to maintain open space in the park so that the volleyball court, the mega kitty litter sandbox, which nobody uses now, which was actually put in within three or four blocks of another volleyball court, could easily be used just as well. All this... Well, I hope in a future broadcast to have more details about what Bob's work has been. I'm hoping to get more from Berkeley. But Bob Sparks is gone, but hopefully we will continue his work. Fumbling with my notes again here. I'm looking for something to pass on to you. Well, I got a call yesterday from Leo that Saturday, May 13th, is a benefit at the old bookshop Santa Cruz tent, I guess, the place that is was a kind of a prefabricated building set up near the Cafe Bene across the street, near the old and beautiful tree that was recently pruned. There'll be a benefit May 13th from 12 to 1:30, sponsored by the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, about whom I've had rather critical things to say in the past and continue to be very, very skeptical of. But any time when people gather who are working to provide homeless services or press for basic homeless rights or simply gather to have a good time and who are poor, this is an opportunity for the rest of us to present information. So if anybody has information they want to give out to poor people, Saturday, May 13th, 12 to 1:30 p.m. at the Bookshop Santa Cruz tent. Used to be up, which is a building that's right across from the Cafe Bene. I believe that's on Cedar Street. Cedar and Union, I believe. So what else is happening? There's a youth curfew coming down the pike. It may not be here tomorrow, but it is definitely on the agenda, and it has been mentioned in the Santa Cruz County Sentinel. It is an attempt to codify and regularize and make countywide three curfew laws that are currently in effect in Watsonville, one in Watsonville, one in Scotts Valley, and one in Capitola. It's currently under review by the Criminal Justice Council, I believe. some such countywide body. And I'm told that Supervisor Wormhout is not in favor of this particular curfew. There was a city curfew brought up last spring along with the other of the noxious downtown ordinances, which are now unfortunately law, but that was rejected by the city council at that time. But it's coming down the pike again, and if you want to oppose this, you should get in touch with the Board of Supervisors and start making a little bit of noise even now. I'm going to try to give you more information on that as we go along. There isn't too much in the papers. I got copies of the curfew. Marty Wormhout, the supervisor who I'm told through secondhand sources opposes the curfew, is somewhat accessible to the public. You can call her office and talk to her about it, and you can also call the other supervisors and talk to them if you like talking to supervisors, or perhaps even if you don't. I'm going to start, in my desperation, fumbling through various articles and giving you some news and reactions. This assumes the whole station doesn't fall apart as I do it, of course. You're going to be seeing a flyer up around town. It's not a crime to be young or poor, but city law and police make you think it is. And we hope you can hear this broadcast. I'm supposed to have been holding the mic this whole time to make it less crackly. Is this less crackly, everybody? But I'm told I sound great. How's that? Is that less crackly, guys? Here we are without the hand. Here we are with the hand. What's the story? Which is better? Come on. The hand is better. I'm getting a hand, and I'm giving a hand. So I can hand it to myself. It's a hands-on situation. So what do we got here? A flyer, I was telling you, you'll be seeing posted around in all different spots, encouraging you to beware of certain issues around the rights of poor people. There's a series of ongoing gripes that I have and concerns around homeless issues and issues of poor people. One of them, of course, is the infamous Santa Cruz City sleeping ban, which has been here since it seems like prehistoric times. This is the 11 p.m. to 8:30 a.m. ban on sleeping outside or in a vehicle, which continues to be enforced. Actually, a man got a ticket for lying down on the sidewalk at high noon earlier this week. And actually, that wasn't the sleeping ban. That was Mike Rotkin's lying ban. Now, there's no ban on city council members lying, arf arf, but there is a ban on ordinary people stretching their bodies out on sidewalks anywhere downtown, or actually in any non-residential district. That law is still in force and is still being enforced. I've seen police walking along enforcing it, and I've actually spoken to a man who got a ticket for it within the last 4 days. So you might think, well, you know, the sidewalks are for walking, they're not for lying. And, you know, there's an argument in that, but we have huge sidewalks in certain places, and really what you got downtown is a gathering area. It's not simply an escalator to the businesses so everybody can dump their money and run. It is rather a place where people can perform a variety of functions downtown, where they can meet, talk, engage in public activity of different kinds, share their experiences. It's a civic center. It's not simply a business center, and that was one of the reasons some of us were so outraged last year when the city criminalized certain basic things like sitting down peacefully on the sidewalk. The lying provision is, lying down, is part of that law. Now, part of that law was thrown out in part, but it was also, after it was thrown out by the courts in August, in September, it was passed again by Mayor Kennedy, Rotkin. In fact, everybody voted for it except Catherine Byers. And we now have a law that makes it illegal to sit near a shop or to lie down anywhere. We're not talking about blocking traffic. We're not talking about abusively behaving, taking off your clothes and waving your weenie in front of somebody. You know, we're not talking about that. We are talking about the innocent act of stretching out, even in a non-obstructive fashion. If it's a nice day, got a huge sidewalk, you're next to a fence, this happens. Some people have virtually no other place to stretch out. And it's a place where people like to go to be. downtown. Anyway, that's a criminal offense now. It's punishable by $168 fine on the first offense. Second offense, within, I believe it's 1 month, it could be within 6 months. Anytime, if you do it again from 1 to 6 months, you will face 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine as a maximum misdemeanor possibility. But the sleeping ban was what I was talking about. The sleeping ban is even more offensive because what it bans is not merely lying down in public places downtown where you can be seen. It bans lying actually on private property where you can't be seen. It's illegal to go to sleep. You can actually be standing up and be prosecuted for this because the act of falling asleep, as it's written, those are the words, if you fall asleep after 11 o'clock at night outside of a domicile, and there are two small exceptions. One is for the River Street campground, which got a permit, or the open-air shelter, as they call it. And the other is for areas with a fenced-in side yard or backyard. You're allowed to sleep in your own side yard or backyard, but woe betide you if you sleep in your vehicle in front of your house, if you sleep in a vehicle that's parked in your driveway, if you try to lie down on your front yard and go to sleep, or let's say having a camp out of some kind, that's all illegal under the city's sleeping ban, or as it's politely called by progressives who know better, but don't say it, the camping ban. And unfortunately, recent Supreme Court decisions, that is by the California Supreme Court, have made this law, which looked like it was going down the tubes because there was a decent decision in Southern California overturning it, have made this law constitutional. It will probably be appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, but since we know who's on the U.S. Supreme Court, there's not too much chance of an overturning there, but miracles have happened. I won't advise, won't make any rash statements about what I'd like to see happen to the U.S. Supreme Court for fear the FBI may come take me away. So let's everybody remain peaceful and nonviolent at all times. I wouldn't want to get a reputation of being the Dave Allen of the left here. Dave Allen, as you may know, is a local, I don't want to say cretin, that's unfair. He seems a nice enough guy. I've met him personally. But his views are wacko, and his manner of dealing with the public is abusive, and heaven help us, and heaven help him, and so forth. So there's the sleeping ban, which the city council is sitting on and doing nothing about. The sleeping ban, which produced lots of the dissent and the protest of actually a rather peaceful and small-scale nature that eventually led to the downtown ordinances last year. Dave Jacobs and Robert Flory had a peace vigil, two of them actually, one around Christmas time a year ago, the other around Valentine's Day, along with Skidmark's Bob Duran and various other malcontents, who they simply sat outside. They had a two-week peace vigil around Christmas, then they had a one-week peace vigil around Valentine's Day. A small part of the sidewalk in front of the what is now the large theater complex, what was then a vacant lot, and gave out literature to passers-by, urging them to contact the city council, to be aware of the truly inhumane, cruel, stupid, abusive, counterproductive situation which adhered and still adheres, where people are punished for sleeping outside, where people are punished for simply falling asleep. And I've got to remind you that there are hundreds of people in the Santa Cruz city area who are homeless, many of them through no fault of their own. These aren't the best of times we're in. And by falling asleep, they face first, as I said, $168 fine, and for subsequent incidents of falling asleep, they actually could face misdemeanor charges, though those have never been filed up to the current time against anybody. Actually, they've been filed, but they've never been taken through to trial. So poor people are under attack. Now, in Santa Cruz, you'll hear it said, well, those laws exist, but they aren't enforced. That's not really true. When I go out to the free meal on the weekends, I get reports of these laws being enforced. Not rigidly and not in great numbers, but simply token enforcement is enough to frighten people and put them in a position where they have to move deeper into the woods, further away, and in a certain sense they become more vulnerable to attacks from those who are abusive. This is what happened in the case of those four men who were so brutally beaten by the Gale brothers, who are now in jail, having been sentenced for felony assault. I think it was 7 and 8 years, something like that. They took pipes and they beat four men who were sleeping. One of those men has subsequently died, although the police department assures us that his death had nothing to do whatsoever with the beating. He was simply an alcoholic who choked on his own vomit, perhaps. But it's enough to make you sick, because these four men told me, and I have their interview, which I hope to be playing over the air at some point at a future time. They told me that they were sleeping where they were, which was out on Morrissey in that area, because they had been driven away from a safe spot in the Poganip some days before by Parks and Rec rangers. So in essence, city officialdom, city bureaucrats, little city wannabe cops, put these men in a position where they could be preyed upon by brutal, fun-loving idiots. I don't know what you'd call them. Sadists. So, the city bears responsibility, and I think particularly of those people who have the power to change the law. We're talking about the city council, including Mayor Catherine Byers, council member Celia Scott, Mike Rotkin. We're talking about council member Scott Kennedy. We're talking about Mary Beth Campbell, Jane Yokoyama. We're talking about Cynthia Matthews, and that, I guess, rounds out the roster there. Now, I used to call the city council the Gang of Seven. That's when Mayor Wormhout was mayor. Well, unfortunately, they're still the Gang of Seven. They've been sitting on these issues for months. They made an announcement to the paper, several of them, I think it was, maybe it was Catherine Byers, that they were looking into a vehicular camping law that would allow people sleeping in their vehicles to do so without fear of midnight wake-ups, without fear of having their van shaked, having their windows rattled, having their door hammered on at midnight. And that is what people face from police who decide they want to do that. These are good-natured, friendly, smiling Santa Cruz police that you hear are such great upstanding citizens and who are given such a cheery green light by the Civilian Police Review Commission, which has so far, I think it's gotten 2 complaints or something, or fielded 2 complaints. There were many complaints last year about police brutality, which that Civilian Police Review Board is not reviewing, is not taking under advisement, has completely dismissed, even though there's videotapes of the beatings that happened, even though a woman miscarried as a consequence of a police blow, even though another man had his rib broken and was later terrorized by a police officer at a medical facility. These are things you don't read in the Sentinel, but these are things that happened here in Santa Cruz. And again, you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 89.3 FM, your radio station. If you want to express your opinion about anything that I've said on the show, if you want to inquire further about it, if you have questions to ask, give me a call at the HUF headquarters. HUF stands for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. And the phone number is, appropriately enough, 423-HUF. 423-HUF. Or 423-4833. Now what we're going to do is I'm going to give myself a brief break, try to organize my notes, and come back to you. And we'll be listening to a little bit of music. I don't know what it is, but I hope you enjoy it. Yeah! And you're back again with Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides at Free Radio Santa Cruz 89.3 FM. As I stumble through my notebook here and try to come up with some num-nums for you. A lot of what I do often is kind of anecdotal report-taking. I go to places where folks gather to eat free meals and such, and I kind of keep my ears open, do interviews, try to put my fingers on the pulse of what's cooking, and get some information that might be useful for everybody to know more broadly. An ongoing controversy has to do with the Back 40 River Street Campground, or the Open Air Shelter, as it's called, which opened about a week or two ago, out at River and Highway 1. This, as I said earlier in the show, is the only legal place for people to sleep outside or in their vehicles, and actually there's no real place for you to be in your vehicle, in the city limits, the Santa Cruz city limits, which takes in, by the way, about half the UCSC campus, so students beware. Anyway, the campground has been a legal area for people to sleep since last summer until it was closed in the fall, and then it was reopened, I guess, in April, the end of April. A legal area to be, and it accommodates about 100 people at max, maybe a few more. But of course, it's a pretty wretched spot, and particularly if it's raining. It was an area where there was a lot of leakage from a garage of various sort of disgusting, if not toxic, fluids that came from that area. It's noisy. It's right next to the freeway, exhaust-ridden. There is no water there yet, although the Above the Line Community Coalition, which is a group of homeless service providers, activists, and homeless folks, have been trying to get that done so that if you have a meal, and the meals are held on that property too, at the free meal, you can not only eat but wash your hands. Wouldn't that be nice? As you may know from reading the papers, the day center has been severely compromised up to now because it hasn't had half its facility open. A crack was found that had to be repaired, and it's apparently going to be, they finally contracted to do it for $100,000 plus, and that may be done in 3 months. But until that happens, we have people who are dealing with rainy and wet weather, and they had not even been allowing people to use tents except under special circumstances, and they've been very rigid about when those tents have to stay up, when they go down. And homeless activists out there have been trying to establish some reasonable, humane rules that would allow people the decency of and privacy of a tent. And that has unfortunately not yet happened. They're allowing you to keep a tent up, I think, until 8 o'clock if it's raining. I may have this somewhat wrong. The story has kind of shifted back and forth. But the person who runs the campground area is still apparently maintaining a rather rigid line, which is enraging some homeless activists because they feel, and properly so, that they're being treated like children rather than adults, that they're not being given the basic, decent, bottom line, ground level respect, which an adult human being, not to mention an adult human being who is in difficult circumstances, needs to have. Apparently there's been a change in the service providing personnel out there. Some of the abusive people who literally had beaten up homeless people, roughed them up, and there was no recourse, and complaints have been kind of phased out, and some others are phasing in. But again, the process does not seem yet to be resolved. It isn't very, there's no real grievance process that's clear, at least according to my reports from Marathon Mark Webster. I'll say his name on the air. He made no secret of the fact that he had a complaint and was concerned about it and was working on it. So homeless property should really be controlled by homeless people. It shouldn't be in the hands of paid bureaucrats or service providers. It should be actually run by the people who have to take to have to caretake it. Now, that's of course not always the easiest thing to do. You know, people who are poor and are often in this situation transient, and so it's not easy, but it's not impossible. There are old timers around here. People have been working and struggling for basic homeless rights, been around for a long time, who could be pivotal in helping to deal with this situation, and they are not approached, or if they are approached, they're simply subsumed into an existing bureaucracy where other people who are warm in their houses come in and give orders to the folks who are outside, telling them, no, you'll have your tent down, no, you won't have your tent up unless the temperature is below 40 degrees, and so forth and so on, which it both makes no sense, and it's also highly authoritarian, it's abusive. It really, in a way, it kind of ties in with what the city wants to do, which is to make homeless people not at home at all, to make sure that they move along as quickly as possible, stay away from the downtown area. The greatest fear of the city seems to be that it will become a magnet to the homeless, when in fact it would be nice if the city were a magnet in a different kind of a sense, for different lifestyles, for different people. Again, a lot of people are not looking for a handout. A lot of people are just looking not to be harassed. And this is something that the city either does not or will not understand, or certainly affects not to understand. I should say the city bureaucrats. I've often felt, and well, for a long time felt, that the city itself, the people of the city, are a lot kinder than the city council and the few specialized interests like the merchants, who are apparently the ones who are running the show these days. What do you do if you want to get involved in any of this stuff? Well, there are groups that are operating. HUF, as I've said, is one of them, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. That group you can contact if you're interested in basic civil rights for homeless people, if you're interested in securing a situation where people are not discriminated against in restaurants or at public events or in homeless services, if you're interested in seeing that these things happen as they should, give a call to me. I'm Bathrobes Pierre Robert at HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, at 423-4833. It's a number to call. And again, it's also a number for you to call if you're interested in free radio, because free radio right now doesn't really have a phone to call, and I'm not free radio, but I can put you in touch with free radio. So if you're interested in getting on the air, give a call to 423-4833. What's happening around the mediators? The mediators, these are a city-funded pair of folks who are being paid, I guess it's $5,000, maybe another $5,000, a total of $10,000 to get the merchants and the homeless people and the activists together around problems that have arisen from the downtown ordinances, namely the ordinances that make it illegal for you to set up a political table in front of a coffee house, make it illegal for you to sit down on the sidewalk in front of a shop, make it illegal for you to sit down and ask for a dime anywhere downtown, even on a bench, make it illegal for you to perform in front of a store window. Well, the real answer, of course, why are there problems around the downtown ordinances? Because there are downtown ordinances like this. I mean, instead of using laws against assault and abuse, instead of using mediation, the city has chosen to surrender to the merchant agenda. That's the problem there. But of course, there are other problems. There are people who get abusive on the mall, both merchant and poor and middle income alike. And you know, these are the realities of modern day city life, and not something that you can overlook when it passes a certain line. And I think that activists certainly can acknowledge that. That's one of the things that these mediators are talking about. They were actually, I think, hired to consider a code of conduct for the downtown area, and more broadly, how issues can be resolved without resorting to law, force, and violence from the point of view of the merchants, because the merchants now have the power of the police on their side. They have the power to use these so-called hospitality hosts and the mental health worker and the Santa Cruz City Police and a whole fleet of city bureaucrats, including Parks and Rec Rangers, and to essentially maintain merchant monopoly control of the downtown area, by the which I mean if somebody sits down innocently on the sidewalk near a store, I was told by one of the hospitality people, those are the little folks in green, they're not so little actually, they have a big smile on their face,